mix with On the Beat.
See what you can do.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Zisu back again. East Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 67. Today we'll be talking movies, including Stronger, Jackie, and Kingsman: The Golden Circle. TV including American Horror Story: Cult, epically latered Spike Jones, and Broad City. We're not covering all our normal segments, but we will have random movie song and movie recommendations. But before I go any further, he's got brains, skills, skipping rope. It's the Nez.
Yo, I got mad skills. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Yeah, we just put out an episode the other day, but kind of wanted to do this one because it was just some things that I missed. Well, mainly because some of the TV we cover, by the time we do our next episode, the new episodes are coming, and I don't want to be talking about two episodes we missed and all that. But we did get out to see two of the new movies that came out this week. So before that, man, let's go or get it going.
Yeah, sounds good. Is it cool if we kick it off with Kingsman?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, awesome. If you've been listening to the pod, you know I was super excited for this movie. I absolutely loved the first one, so I was really looking forward to this one. And I absolutely loved it. It lived up to the expectations. It was one of those that I was for sure was going to be in my top 10. I think it might be in my top 5. It's just so fun. Also, if you've been listening to the pod, you know I'm a huge action fan. And usually you would think, okay, you're a fan of it, then you're going to be picky about it, but I'm actually kind of the opposite. Like, give me almost any action, and I'm pretty happy with it. Mechanic Resurrection comes to mind. Not a huge hit at all, but I was like, I liked it. It's action. And this is, like, top-tier action to me. I absolutely loved it. I definitely don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen Golden Circle or The Secret Service, the first film. But I will say that they kicked it off in absolutely the right way. It got me so hyped. The opening action sequence is set to my favorite Prince song, Let's Go Crazy.
That's cool. So,
yeah, amazing. And I was already excited, and it got me even more better mood. I was like, this is incredible. And there's also another action set piece set to Elton John, my favorite song from Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. So absolutely brilliant, and I loved everything about it. I loved the first film, so yeah, I'm hoping you get a chance to get out and see it, Nez. I hope you like it. I know you weren't crazy about the first one. If I had to compare the two, I'd say I prefer the first one, but I still absolutely love the second one, and it's one of those movies I can't wait to go see again in the theaters.
Was there more action in this one, or was it about the same?
About the same, I'd say. But man, they just do it so well. It's that mix of like high speed, and then they'll slow it down and show you something, you know, in super slow mo, and just so cool. All the action set pieces, so awesome. Love it.
Was this regular or 3D?
Regular.
Is it available in 3D? I wasn't sure, because usually everything comes out in 3D.
Probably, but actually I didn't see the option for that here. It seems like the theaters here in this area are actually kind of moving away from it. I haven't seen anything really highlighted in 3D in a while. So
yeah, I mean, because I think that they were going overboard with the 3D. I mean, just making
right
everything 3D that didn't even need it. I mean, same thing with Star Wars. I mean, I mean, I'll see it in 3D if that's the only option, but I mean, those aren't really filmed in 3D, so I don't know why they do that. I mean, a lot of these movies are converted right anyway, so you guys all know my stance on these converted stuff, but I'm looking at some Fandango right now, and it doesn't look like it was. I think it was all just regular wherever. So I know it's filmed. It's shown in IMAX over where I'm at. So if I do get out there, I'll probably go see it in that. I like I said before, numerous times, I like to see my films on the bigger format. So I do want to see it now. I mean, other than you just hyping it up, I knew you were going to love it. But
right,
a friend of mine saw it and he didn't care for the first one, but he said he liked this one. He goes, dude, I think you'll like it. He goes, it was a little bit better than the first. So I went, all right. Well, my next question, how much of Channing Tatum is in it? I know I did like him in Logan Lucky, but how much is he in this?
Well, I know you you weren't hot on him, but you came around a little. I think it's the perfect amount for your taste. He's in it, but his scenes are actually pretty minimal. He has some scenes, but he's by far not even, you know, he doesn't stay with our main characters, and he's actually not even the main statesman, the American version of the Kingsman, the statesman. He's not even the main one of those. So,
all right, cool. Yeah. Where does Halle Berry fall into all this?
If you're familiar with the first film, Mark Strong, his character was kind of like a tech behind the scenes kind of guy. And that's what Halle Berry does for the statesman. She's like the tech behind the scenes person.
Okay, so cool. I don't know.
But yeah.
I'm not sure if I'll make it out there this weekend because I got a busy schedule, but
right,
I'll see it soon. Because I am reading other reviews and everyone is enjoying it. So I'll eventually get to it. I'll get to it before it gets out of the theater.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah, I can't wait to see what you think about it. I loved it. The first one completely surprised me. I didn't know what we were getting with that. And I absolutely loved that film. And this one was right up there with it. It just does what I want. And I don't know. I have no idea. I think they're probably waiting to see how this one does, to see if there'll be more. But I'd love for it to at least be a trilogy. So I hope it does well enough to get at least one more. Would be cool. But we'll see. But yeah, loved it.
I kind of have a feeling there will be, if not one more, maybe they'll make it into a trilogy. But I kind of feel that. I mean, plus, the first movie did good. This one seems to be doing good right now. We'll see by Sunday if how well it did. But yeah, I can see another one coming.
Yeah, hopefully. I know it held on for whatever it's been, 2 weeks now. It's won the last 2 weeks, so we'll see if it continues to hold on. Because the thing with it is, it's just got people talking, and that's usually what gets people to the theater. So I could see it actually holding on again.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Because out of the movies that came out this weekend, I think that's like the biggest one.
Right.
Is that it, or yeah, more?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. I went and seen this new movie that came out. Well, supposedly comes out today, but we always go to the earlier screenings on Thursday. But I went and seen Stronger, the biograph drama with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tatiana. I think that's how you say her name. Maslany.
Oh, from Orphan Black.
I don't know what that is. What's that?
It's a BBC show. It's real popular about she plays multiple characters. They're all clones. And yeah, it's like a whole clone club thing. It's done a few seasons. It's kind of one of the Comic-Con shows. I remember the first year at Comic-Con that it was debuting, just the name Orphan Black sounded like it was horror. It sounded like a horror movie, and no, it's not at all. It's a kind of sci-fi drama. So, anyways, but yeah, that's what she's...
All right, I'm looking at it. A streetwise hustler is pulled into a compelling conspiracy after witnessing the suicide of a girl who looks just like her. Ooh.
Right.
When did this start? 2013? I'm way late. They got five,
yeah, yeah.
They got five seasons. All right, I'm going to have to... This sounds cool. I've never even seen this girl before. I'm sure I might have seen her in something, but that Orphan Black sounds good.
She almost got Jyn Erso, too. She was the runner-up to Felicity Jones. She almost was Jyn Erso.
Yeah, no. I like... okay, Ginger Snaps 2. That's what I seen her. Was that it? Wait a minute. No. I'm sorry. Diary of the Dead. That's what I'd seen her in. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, she only had a little part in that, but all right. Okay, I know who this girl is. Oh, but anyway, back to the movie. Stronger. Stronger is the inspiring real-life story of Jeff Bowman, an ordinary man who captured the hearts of his city and the world to become a symbol of hope following the infamous 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Yeah, this movie was, I was reading reviews and everything, and all the reviews were positive. It's got like a 98, I believe, on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 on IMDb. And this movie was awesome. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I didn't really know this guy's story. I've heard of him. And I mean, we all know what happened with the Boston Marathon bombing. And I wasn't sure how they were going to do this. I mean, I know they were going to focus more on this guy, on Jeff, and his struggle after the bombing. And it wasn't too graphic in the beginning, because I wasn't sure how they were going to do that. I mean, there's nothing to spoil. So the bomb, he goes, he sees that hit the girl, the Tatiana chick. She is Erin Hurley in this. I guess apparently they were together, but then they broke up, got together, broke up. So, but he was still in love with her. So, he knew she was doing the marathon, and he goes, I'll be there for you. I'll make a sign and I'll be at the finish line. So he was there, and she was still coming around the bend, and, he's standing there, and they show one of the bombers like bump into him. And he turns and looks. The camera is out of focus because it's just focusing in on Jeff. And you see him. He's got the bomb. One of the bomb guys. He's got a hat on and sunglasses. And he just kind of looks at him, but just doesn't really think nothing much of it. So, and then next thing you know, boom, the bomb goes off. They don't actually show Jake Gyllenhaal's character standing right there when it goes off. The camera goes to Tatiana, she's running, then all of a sudden she just hears this big and you see the explosion, and then the story goes from there. She really doesn't know what's going on. She's kind of just waiting around. She goes into this bar to call her family to let her know, hey, I'm okay. And while she's talking to, I think it's her mom or her sister, she's looking up on the at the TV that's showing in the bar, and they show a quick picture of Jeff. He's sitting there. And he looks all beat up, and then she realized that he got hurt. So she finds out, I don't know how she found out, but she found out what hospital he was in. Because I'm sure everybody, during all the chaos, everybody was just going to, they were just picking people up. Like if you've seen that other movie, Patriots Day, it just seemed like everybody was just, they were just picking up people and taking them all to any hospital, whatever the closest was, determining which who was worse, because there was a scene in this where one of the paramedics came up and saw Jeff and saw his legs were gone. and he got some blood off the ground because there was blood everywhere, because there was bodies all over the place right where the blast was. I believe it was the first blast. One of the paramedics just like wipes his finger in blood on the ground and just puts a C on Jeff's forehead for critical. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, I know when Hollywood does movies like this, I mean, it was a really strong movie, and it was sad because we know what happens, but then where it ends with this guy's story. But I was like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine being there or just being a part of something like that, witnessing anything so tragic. And because when I was in Boston, I went down that street where the bombing was, because there was all kinds of little memorials and flowers and everything, which was, it was heartwarming, but then it was sad because I knew what happened. But anyway, so his story from there, after she finds him in the hospital, it's just his struggle to redo his life, learn to do things over for himself and everything. So this movie kind of got me a little mad because his family was like, I mean, they were all just hardcore Boston Red Sox, Bruins, and all that, and they had the real, the tough Boston accent. And but his family was just like, his dad seemed to be cool. His mom and dad weren't together anymore. His dad seemed to be cool. He was played by Lenny Clark. No. I'm sorry, Clancy Brown. You guys might know him from Starship Troopers, Bad Boys, and a bunch of other stuff he did. He was really good character. I've always liked him. I think the movie I liked him the best was, he was Viking in Bad Boys with Sean Penn. But his dad was cool. His mom, oh my God, she got on my nerves. I mean, I wonder what the people thought of them. I mean, seeing themselves portrayed on the screen at like an asshole family, man. All they did was drink, and his mom just was like a chain smoker, and I mean, they weren't living in the best conditions and everything. And especially for him, he was living, after he had gotten out of the hospital, he was living like on a second floor of an apartment, and he had to, everyone helped him up and down the stairs, but there's a scene where his girlfriend, she takes his wheelchair to the bottom of the stairs, and then you see him kind of just scooting down the stairs, hopping down on his butt. And I was like, man, I mean, it was a good movie, man, but it was a little frustrating at times, mainly just because of his family. And then he was like just giving up. I mean, there was a really powerful scene where he was screaming at his girlfriend, and I don't know if he would get nominated for Academy Award, but that one scene was really strong. I mean, it actually put tears in my eyes, man. He was just, the way he was treating his girlfriend, how his mom and some of his family was treating his girlfriend, and his dad and his uncles and his buddies, I don't know if they were his cousins or just his friends, they all seemed to be cool, but it was... Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think everyone should go see this. It's a really good story. And just him learning how to walk again, because these guys made him some legs, and he had to learn how to use them. But it was just a struggle of just living without legs. And I think what I kind of learned out of this is, don't take your legs for granted, man. I don't know. I mean, other than cherish your life, but yeah, it was a good movie, man. I really liked this, and I could see he was having like flashbacks of the bombing, because towards the end they showed what happened to him when he woke up after the blast, and that's when they were showing the bodies laying everywhere, and they actually showed his legs. I mean, I've seen some videos of him, how they did it all. I mean, of course, we all know how they did it. They put the orange or the green socks on his legs, and then they just computer erase them all and everything. So, I mean, I thought they did a really good job on this movie. But I mean, it was a really good story, man. It was a happy ending. For those of you that do know this Jeff Bowman story, it was a happy ending to the movie. And I don't know what this guy is doing now, but it was a good movie, man. It was pretty long, man. It was almost 2 hours, but I was so sucked up into it, it kind of just flew by. I mean, but this is a good movie. I would probably pick this movie up. I did enjoy it. I don't know if I'll go see it again in the theater, but when it comes out, I'll probably buy it and I'll watch it again. This was a good movie, man. I don't think it'll be in my top 10, but it'll be close to it because it was a really good movie.
Right. Any other movies you got?
I got something that I'll talk about, but I'll wait till. Did you have another one?
Just real briefly, actually, right before we started recording, I watched Jackie. I don't know if you heard about that. It's Natalie Portman as Jacqueline Kennedy after the assassination of JFK and what she went through after that and setting up the funeral procession and whatnot. I don't know. It was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including Natalie Portman, her performance. Her performance was good, but I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me to recommend like these kind of films. I mean, it was well done for what it was, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, a known story, but I don't know. That's all I really had to say about it. Like I said, it's a tougher recommendation, but you know, if you do have any interest in JFK and that time in history, it's worth checking out. Otherwise, I'd say you could probably pass on it.
Do they show the assassination stuff? Or?
They do. It's pretty graphic. As far as like similar films, I could say this is probably the closest to like graphic reality portraying of that moment. So, yeah.
All right. I know what it is. I remember seeing trailers for it when it came out, but I never got around to seeing it.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, it's on the HBO Go, HBO, all that. So it's out.
All right.
That's where I caught it.
This next one that I want to talk about, it's not out yet. It comes out. They're having screenings for it next Tuesday. I'm hoping I can make it to one, but this is a touchy subject within the horror community as well as just every community when you find out what this monster did. But they're having one night only screenings for Jeepers Creepers 3. And I don't know if you have you seen any of those movies? I doubt it.
I'm familiar with them, but no, I haven't.
I have the first two. I do enjoy them. The second one, I like it more than the first. But this director, Victor Silva, he's directed those two movies, the Jeepers Creepers trilogy. He directed a movie called Powder. And the other movie, which I like, and people get mad when this movie called Clown House, he directed back in 89. And the director, there was a little young guy in it. The main actor, his name is Nathan Forrest Winters. He was molesting him while they were filming this. I don't really know the story too much, but he was, I guess he was doing it for a while, and then he ended up going. The kid finally came forward and he got sent to jail for a few years, And then when this guy got out, he went back to making movies. And but everybody just does not want to support this guy. If some people are like, yeah, you're going to see this, so you're supporting him. He's getting your money. I like the Jeepers Creepers character, and I just want to see what's next. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to see it, but then there's going to be more people that are boycotting this. I want to kind of go just to see if there's going to be some kind of boycott or anything at the theater. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
the Bay Area?
No, here in Reno, it's going to be here. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go see it. I doubt it'll be out of hand in Reno, but if it is, maybe I'll just, I don't know.
I could see it being more out of hand in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I know that some of them got canceled. They were supposed to have them in L.A., but those got canceled because they were really protesting it. So, right. But I don't know. You know, those Fathom events, they're doing it. They're having a screening, and I want to see the movie. I just want to see, because at the end of the second one, spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen those, at the end of the second movie, they get the creeper. Ray Wise, he was in that one, his character, and he has them pinned up against the wall, chained up, and he's just sitting there staring at him with this big harpoon gun that he made, and he's just sitting there waiting because I think it was every so many amount of years that the creeper would come and just feast on humans and everything. So I'm not sure if they're going to start it off like that. I mean, they would have to start it off with there, because that's at the end of the second one, that's where it left off. So I was like, oh man, when it was over, I wanted to see if, where it was going to go, how this next installment's going to be. I remember I met Ray Wise at Comic-Con one year. And I asked him, I said, what's up with the Jeepers Creepers 3? And this was a few years ago. He was like, he goes, I'm ready to do it if they call me. So I'm looking at cast right now, and it doesn't look like he's in it. But who knows? If he is, maybe he's only in the beginning. But I don't know. I'm just interested to see what's in this next installment. And I'm hoping there isn't any kind of commotion at the theater for this. So I'm gonna go and see. I don't know if I should buy my ticket now.
No, probably not.
Or I don't want to walk up to the ticket booth and go, yeah, give me one for Jeepers Creepers, and then have everybody, he's supporting them and all this. So I don't know. If I see it, I see it, and I'll come on here and let you guys know. I'm not sure. I think it's going to VOD shortly after, maybe sometime in October. I'm not too sure yet. But I don't know how this guy still has a film career.
Right.
Much less to get money to keep going. Cause even after, I mean, after he got out of jail, I mean, he pretty much went right back to work. So, I don't know. He's done. Clown House was in 1989, and then he kept working. I'm not sure exactly when, this young man came forward and told everybody what happened, but since 1989, he had a career. His first movie was 1986, 1989, 1990. He did two in 1995. Then there was kind of a few years, a gap. And I think it must have been right after he did Powder, because he had a gap of nothing. 1999, he came back and did another movie. And then he's been working like every other year 2001, 2003, those were the Jeepers Creepers ones. Then 2006, 2011, 14, and now he's got something called the Old Hag Syndrome. That's in pre-production. Jeepers Creepers 3 is done, so it's getting ready to come out. I don't know how this guy still has a film career. So,
right.
Powder, I never seen that. I don't even know what it's about, but I mean,
that Travolta?
No. That was phenomenal. This is is he John Travolta in this? No.
Kevin Spacey?
Mary Steenburgen, Lance Henriksen, Jeff Goldblum. Ray Wise, he's in it. And off the charts genius who is homeschooled and shunned after his last relative dies shows an unconscious residents of his town about connection, awareness, and the generosity of the spirit. Whatever that means. But I mean, I know this kid, he's like extra white. I remember that from the trailer. I mean, I didn't see this, but who knows? Maybe if I find it somewhere, I'll watch it. But Jeepers Creepers 3, man, it's a big thing going on right now with amongst the horror fans, and it's coming next week, next Tuesday. So maybe next episode, I'll say I saw it, I got scared, or maybe something happened at the theater, but I don't know, man. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I am totally just against abuse, any kind of abuse, be it just towards children or women or anyone. I'm against all that, but I'm a horror fan. You guys know that. And I saw the first two movies, and I didn't know any of this happened even after I seen those first two movies. And it was after the second one was when I found out what happened. I actually did a show about Clown House last October during all my Halloween Havoc stuff. And I did mention all this. I went over everything that I just said about this guy and what he had done to that young man and everything. So, we'll see next Tuesday if I'm there or not.
Yeah. Well, on that note, get into some TV, I guess.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't have much except for Broad City. The second episode of the season aired this past Wednesday, so check that out. I had mentioned the first one was kind of more of a throwback origin story, which is kind of fun. So this was the first episode where it was the continuing story after, this is season 4, so the continuing story after season 3. So cool to see where the characters were at, and funny as ever, funny every week. Shania Twain was on this episode, so that was kind of funny in its own way. But
how does she look?
Yeah, it's same as ever. Right, looking good. She was actually in a scene where she was supposed to be training in a gym, and she didn't really want to, but yeah, the characters were trying to motivate her.
I saw something, I don't know, she appeared on something, and just Shania Twain is a beautiful woman, and she's an amazing singer. I love her voice. I have her first two albums. But I was like, ooh, I don't know if she did plastic surgery or not, because at first I couldn't recognize her until they said, yeah, Shania Twain. And I went, whoa. I mean, hey, but then, I mean, I've said this before, man, it's none of my business what people do to themselves, what they do to themselves. But I was kind of like, whoa, okay. But anyway, continue.
I was just saying, I couldn't even tell in this episode, but I don't remember her looks from whenever that was back in the 90s when she was first hitting. But yeah, I couldn't tell, so. But anyways, yeah, good episode. Broad City, enjoying it. So that's all the TV I had for this episode, though.
All right. I'm looking at pictures of her now. It looks like she just had some work done to her cheekbones. But, I mean, other than that, she still looks, she's still hot. How old is Shania? She, I would say she's in her, at least in her 50s.
Yeah, gotta be.
That one album that she liked, or she did, does it say how old she is? She was born in 65, so someone do the math. 52. Oh, she's not that old. There you go. She's not that old.
Yeah.
Is it The Woman in Me? Yeah, her album, The Woman in Me, man, that album's hella good. Every song is awesome in that. But yeah, enough Shania and country talk. Yeah, Shania Twain, she's beautiful. Check her out if you don't know who she is. Broad City. What channel is that on?
Comedy Central, but it also airs on Hulu. So you can check it out there. They have the all first three seasons, and I think the day after the episodes air, Wednesday, so Thursday, the new episodes are up of the new season. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. I mean, that one girl from Rough Night. Rough Night, yeah. I liked her. She was funny.
Yeah. It's an amazing show. It's so funny. Every episode has laughs, so I really enjoy it.
Okay. The show that I watched that I'll probably talk about every episode is American Horror Story Cult. The first thing, let me get this out of the way. Sarah Paulson's character is driving me nuts. I can't stand her. I loved her in all the previous seasons she's been in, but this season, oh my God, I want one of the clowns to kill her. But I like what's going on so far. I mean, I know they started off right with all the political stuff, and they kind of eased away from that because now, once the stories, I know it's only been the third episode, so it's been building up to what's coming and everything. Right now, they're just focusing on Sarah Paulson's character. I believe she is Laura Winters. I think that's her character. I'm on IMDb, and when you type in American Horror Story, they just list every character. So I don't know if that's her name this season, but I'm just going to call her Sarah Paulson. Evan Peters, he's badass. I like him this season. But yeah, I mean, Evan Peters, he pops in every now and then to just throw in his two cents on what he's doing, his cult. Who knows? I could be wrong. Maybe he's not the cult leader, but it seems to be right now that his cult is slowly being the cause of all the chaos that's going on this season. And Billy Eichner, him and his wife. I know last episode, not last, I think it was last episode or whenever the last time I talked about this, when Billy Eichner's character came on, and I said that he was playing a straight man. At that time when I watched that episode, I only watched it up to that point, to when Billy came on the screen. If I would have watched it another few seconds, I would have found out that his character is not straight. He's playing a gay character. And if you all know who Billy on the Street is, Billy Eichner, he is an openly gay man, and he's hilarious. I mean, I love him. He's even awesome in this show. But his story and his, it was him and his friend. His best friend, they were like, if we're not married by age 32, we'll just marry each other. So that's why he married his friend. So he's still gay in this season. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess I put my foot in my mouth before I finished the episode. But yeah, I mean, Billy, I love him. He's hilarious. And all the stuff he does. Difficult People, check that show out. That's amazing. I think there's only a few more episodes this season for that. But I'm glad that he is in this. I don't know how long he's going to be in this season. Hopefully he's in it to the end, because I like the characters of him and his wife. They're the neighbors across the street. But just right now, I think they're focusing on Sarah Paulson's character and her craziness, her fear of holes and her fear of clowns and everything. So I like what's going on. It's still building up, because this is only the third episode. So usually that's how the show goes. Well, I've only seen the first two seasons, but I like what's going on, and I'm going to continue to watch it. But Sarah Paulson, her character right now, she's killing me. I know she's going to go to the end, but
right,
I'm hoping they kill her.
I found out a little bit of interesting news this week. A guy I went to school up here with College of the Redwoods. Actually went to some Warriors game with him. He moved down to Santa Barbara, and I had no idea he's even trying to do this, but I just found out this past week that he has been filming probably as an extra in American Horror Story. I'm assuming they're still filming it, since it's early in the season, so maybe he'll show up later, but I'm going to have to send you a picture of him. Shout out to Bo Torlinger, if I'm getting your last name right. But yeah, so it was pretty interesting. Like, I think right after you talked about it last time, stumbled onto the socials, and he was talking about that, just being on set. So
right on.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, send me a picture of him. I'll keep an eye out for him on the show.
Yeah, let me know.
But yeah, I like what's going on this season. So we'll get more of it as we go along.
Sounds good.
Got any more TV?
That's about it for me for TV.
All right, I got one more show. A couple episodes ago, I don't know if it was the last one or not, but I did. I started watching Epically Latered on Viceland, and this week's episode they did it on Spike Jonze. I was always a fan of Spike Jonze, even before he was a name. He was big to the skateboard community because he's a skateboarder and he's a BMXer. And I knew him from all his skateboarding days before he actually jumped into making videos and making feature films. His first video that I had seen was Video Days for Blind Skateboards. And this video was amazing. I remember when it came out back in 91, features the legendary Mark Gonzalez, Rudy Johnson, Jason Lee. Everybody knows who he is. This was before he was famous on the little screen and the big screen. I knew him as a skateboarder, and I was happy to see Jason's career get to where it is today. And he's still a skateboarder. He still runs his stereo skateboards, but he still pops in movies and TV now and then. And awesome skating by all of them. Also, Guy Mariano, he was in it, and he's amazing. It's an awesome video. For any of you skateboarders, and I'm sure every skateboarder has seen this, but if you haven't seen this, I'll put the video up on the East Society Facebook page. But Spike Jonze, man, it was a good episode, man. I loved seeing. I knew all his skateboarding stuff. I knew all that, but when he started doing videos, I see his name pop up, directed by Spike Jonze, and then when he started doing the motion pictures, I've seen a couple of them, not all of them. I've seen Being John Malkovich. I've seen Adaptation. I haven't seen Her yet, and I saw the beginning of Where the Wild Things Are, but I haven't seen the whole movie yet. I have it. I'll eventually get to it. But a lot of the music videos he did, I've seen. And I think my favorite music video he did was probably a Sabotage for the Beastie Boys. And that other one he did for... Christopher Walken was the one dancing around in it. I think it was Fatboy Slim.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song, but I like that video. What was it?
Weapon of Choice.
Oh, I only liked it because Christopher Walken was dancing around in it. But he's done, right. He's worked with a ton of people. Weezer, Sonic Youth, Bjork, Tenacious D, Beck, I want to say Jay-Z. Yeah, Jay-Z and Kanye West, he did some stuff with them. And all his movies he's done. But it was cool to see his career, where he started, where he was just a skateboard and BMX photographer, to where he was working for small little magazine companies, and then he started making videos. And most of the guys that were interviewed in this were all the skateboarders that he knew throughout filming and everything. And they spoke to Matt Hoffman. Matt Hoffman's a BMX legend. If you guys don't know who he is, he's amazing on a BMX bike. And it was cool just to see all that, because I mean, a lot of the skateboarders that were talking about him, they go, yeah, we knew him as a skateboarder and a guy that always had a camera and was filming us. And he was a really down to earth and cool guy. And there was one guy, Guy Mariano. He goes, I remember meeting him when they filmed Video Days. And then he goes, but then he just kind of disappeared for a while. And then he came back later on after he had made all these big giant movies and videos. He came back to make another skateboard video with everybody. And then he was this guy, Guy Mariano, was kind of like, I wasn't sure, is he going to be like the Spike Jonze that I knew before, or is he going to be this, I'm a big Hollywood arrogant asshole now? And he was like, he goes, he came back, it was like I never left. Like he never left. He was still that same person that was hella cool. And I mentioned this before when I talked about meeting Spike Jonze, and he was hella cool talking to him. When me and Tommy were talking to him at the Jackass 3D party at Comic-Con one year, and he was hella cool. I was talking to him about the old skateboarding stuff that he had done. And I said, hey, man, I'm proud of you for what you did, because you're a skateboarder and you did it, man. You took your photography and your video making and filmmaking to way up. This is all before he won the Academy Award. And I said, dude, man, I said, big ups to you, man. Because I asked him, do you still skate? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I get on when I can. And I'm like, right on, dude. He said, I'll never stop. And I said, good. I mean, that's how I feel it. I'm 46 now. I still ride my skateboard every day, and I'll never stop. I'll stop when I can't, if I can't walk or stand anymore. But it was cool to see that hearing from all the old skateboarders that knew him, to say he's never changed. He's still living the life as a skateboarder, and he's doing all these big things now. All his fame and success never went to his head. He's still the same old Spike that everybody knew. His real name is actually what the hell? Because somebody gave him the name Spike. He wasn't Spike Jonze. He was, I can't remember what they said his name was. I'm looking on something. I can't seem to find it. But one of the guys he was working with, I think it was at one of the magazines. They gave him that name because he was just, he's a little short guy. I mean, he's not very tall. And one of the dudes just said, yeah, we just called him Spike Jonze. Oh, his name is Adam Spiegel. I think that's how you say his last name. Jesus, born in 69, he's 47. But this episode of Epically Latered, man, it was good, man. I love the Bam one. I think I've watched these shows off and on. I only watch the ones when I know who they are. My favorite one so far has been, this was before it was on Vice and everything, before their channel started. They did a one on a skateboarder called John Cardial, his story from where he was to how his fame to him getting into an accident and not be able to walk or skateboard anymore to his story to overcome, because I remember the doctors told him, dude, you're never going to walk again. And he was like, you know what? Fuck that. I don't believe you. I'm going to walk again. And he just, his climb to where he started able to walk, and they show video of him getting back on a skateboard and skating this bull. And even all the doctors that said, you're not going to walk anymore, he was skating a bull. And it was a touching scene, because one of the skateboarders, you can see him, he was crying, and he goes, this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, seeing his friend that they thought would never walk again back on a skateboard and skating a bowl. But, I mean, I've seen videos now, John Cardial. He can't do what he used to do, but he's still walking. He's riding his bike. He's skateboarding. Not as hard, but he's still doing it. He didn't listen to the doctors, and he's walking around. That was the main thing, just to see John walking around. I've seen him skate before his accident and everything. I've never met the man. I would love to meet him and talk to him just to tell him that I loved what he has done for skateboarding. And he's still a skateboarder. He's still in the business and everything, as well as Spike Jones, man. He's still a skateboarder. He's still in the skateboard industry. Everybody knows who he is. And like I said, he has not changed a bit from what all these guys were saying. And everyone still loves him. And it was cool, man. One of the guys was saying that he goes, it's good to see what he has done. And to see it, when people look at skateboarders, they just see us as these just gangs, these just idiots that are riding on this piece of wood and causing chaos in the street. Yeah, that's what we are, but we're skateboarders. I mean, we all know what we're doing. But he goes, it's good to see that he made skateboarding cool still. He was one of us, a little dirt grommet, to now he's this big, huge Hollywood name, but he still skateboards, and he's still, at the very end of the episode, during the credits, they actually show him skating down the street and busting out tricks and everything. So I thought that was cool. That put a tear in my eye to see that he still skates and he still rides his bike and he still goes out and surfs. I assume he lives somewhere right on the coast, because he was surfing and then he was riding his skateboard home, holding his surfboard back to his house. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, if you guys watch these those shows on Viceland or Vice or whatever channel it was on, I think it was Viceland, watch the Epically Latered Spike Jones. If you don't watch it when it comes on, when it airs, you can go on the website and watch I think all the previous episodes to this season. And that'll be on there, or as well as give it a few more days, it'll be on the Spike Glenn YouTube page, because I just watched the Bam Margera one again while I was at work, and the whole episode was on YouTube on their Viceland channel. So, but yeah, check it out. When this pops up on YouTube, I'll put it on the Facebook page. If you guys don't just want to search for it, you can just go there and look for it. But yeah, Epically Later, Spike Jones, man, is an amazing show. Put tears in my eyes.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last time that he's been on that show. I watched Jesus and Mero on Viceland, and it was amazing to find out pretty much right there that he's one of the co-founders of that network. He started it with the guy that did Vice News when it was just on HBO. So it's cool to see him do that, and just the way he dropped in Jesus and Mero, and, you know, they're real jokey and cool and stuff like that, but it was kind of funny to see him show up, and they're like, oh, the boss and stuff like that. But no, it's just like you were saying, cool, laid back guy, and obviously that's everything that Viceland does.
I know he was one of the guys that was when they were doing Jackass and everything, he was one of the filmers, and he was been with them with Jeff Tremaine and all those guys, like right from the get-go when they started that. But they were showing scenes from Jackass, the first movie, the very opening scene when they were all racing down the hill in that big giant shopping cart. Spike filmed some of that. He was on a skateboard going down the hill right next to the big shopping cart, and he was holding a camera filming it. Didn't have a helmet, no pads, nothing. His little camera he was holding, and I was like, whoa. I mean, he's got that much control on the skateboard to be able to just bomb that hill holding a camera and filming all this. I mean, I'm going to have to watch that movie again, because I thought they were like, I'm sure they were as well, with a car or something in front of them with all the big giant cameras on it rolling down the hill. But I guess all the close-up scenes of them in the shopping cart was Spike filming, and he just a little handheld camera, and he was on a skateboard. I was nice. Like, whoa! But That's cool, man. I mean, that's awesome, man. Spike Jones, man. He's one of the legendary skateboarders that's up there. In skateboard history, if he's not in the Skateboard Hall of Fame, and he should be. I'm not too really sure who's all in the Skateboard Hall of Fame. I know some of the big names are in there, like Tony Hawk and Christian and all those guys. But if Spike Jones isn't in there, he needs to be, because he's done so much for skateboarding before he went into his big Hollywood career. And, man, Spike Jones, man, like I said, he's an awesome guy, and he was hella cool when we met him and talked to him that day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What else we got? That's all for TV for me.
Yeah, I guess that's all for TV. Like I said up at the top, since we just did an episode, we don't really have Star Wars moment, sports, nothing's really happened. Niners and the Rams played Thursday Night Football. Everybody said it was going to be a terrible game. I didn't watch it. I was out at Kingsman, but from the score, I think they probably surprised a lot of people. It was 41-39. Rams took out.
I saw a few minutes of it when I was at work, and I was like, what's up with these uniforms? The Rams were all in yellow, and the 49ers were in their new uniform, or their black and red. And I was like, these uniforms look stupid. I don't like them.
Yeah, their color rush. They actually did it last year. I guess that's what they wear on Thursday night games, trying to hype up the Thursday night games. But it's crazy. I guess this one turned out pretty good, but for the most part, Thursday night games are usually pretty bad, like 9-3 type games or 10-3, you know, one touchdown type games. So, but yeah, this one is high scoring. So,
why is that? Why are those so low? I mean, what?
I think because they really just shouldn't be doing it the way they have to go all out for football. That's just too short of recovery time. Usually they have the whole week, Sunday to Sunday, or even Monday night. And if they're going to play on Sunday and then only, you know, 4 days later, Thursday night, I think it just throws them off. And, yeah, it's just it's been traditionally bad, and now it's become like a normal thing. And I really wish they'd get rid of it, but they won't.
Well, I watched a little bit of the game, but I didn't see much. But what's coming up this Sunday, and I'll definitely have my wrap-up for it the next episode, is WWE's No Mercy pay-per-view.
Right.
I'm looking at the poster right now. Got Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman for the poster. I really don't know who is. Well, here's some matches. I'm behind on Raw and SmackDown. I still need to sit down and watch those. But I'm on Wikipedia, and these are the matches in no particular order. Brock Lesnar, he's taking on Braun Strowman. John Cena and Roman Reigns. I'm a Reigns guy, so I'm pushing more for him. The next match, this is going to be cool. This is going to be good again. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins taking on Cesaro and Sheamus. We already saw that match. We saw it on the last pay-per-view, but I get there's still some bad blood about all that. So Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. They're doing that again. Neville versus Enzo Amore. I love Enzo, but Neville will just destroy him. But I don't know. We'll see, because I believe Enzo. Neville is one of the he's a high flyer at the fucking, what's that division called? I know someone's screaming it at me. Fuck. Because he was... I'll get back to it. So I'm sure someone's yelling at me. What they're but anyway, the next Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Nia Jax versus Emma. Reality, Nia Jax will destroy all of them. But I'm shooting more for Bailey. I think it'll be mainly. Everybody hates Alexa Bliss, but I think really the talent wise, it would be Sasha Banks and Bailey. I'm predicting one of them to win. I would lean more towards Bailey, but we'll see. But I don't know, Emma. She's been getting a lot of airtime lately, so who knows? Maybe she'll win. Emma's hot. She's so fine. I'm glad that she was out there for a while, but then they knocked her down to NXT. Now they brought her back up. And the other match, I'm sick of this guy, but I do love him. He's a good character. He's a good heel. The Miz with Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, the Miztourage, so dumb. The Miz is taking on Jason Jordan. If Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas don't get involved, I don't know who would win. The Miz or Jason Jordan, man, he's a lot of muscle and he's a good performer, but I don't know, man. But the scripted, you guys all know that, so it'll probably go to the Miz. But who knows? Maybe Jason Jordan will pull something out. But yeah, that's what we have for this weekend's No Mercy pay per view. So I'm excited. I think I'm more excited for the Cena and Roman Reigns match and the main event, Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. We'll see, because that last pay per view, Braun Strowman destroyed everybody. Yeah, Brock Lesnar won, but Braun Strowman, man, he just threw everybody all over the place. Brock Lesnar got it the most, man, thrown through both announce tables and then got a table flipped over on top of him. And they had to cart him out for a while, but then he came back and ended up winning. But, it's going to be good rematch, man, to see them really go at it. Because I remember the last time Lesnar kept trying to give Strowman the German suplex, and he just couldn't do it. I want to say he got one in, but I'm not too sure. Because Lesnar was throwing everyone else out of the ring. But with Braun Strowman, man, I didn't like him before because I just thought he was just a big idiot. But after that last match, I'm like, ooh, I think I'm leaning more towards Braun Strowman. But then I kind of want Brock Lesnar to do a little more damage this time. Who knows? Maybe it will, since Braun Strowman beat him down so hard the last time. Maybe Lesnar will do a lot more in this one, but who knows? We'll see. I'm not going to be able to watch it when it's live because I'll be driving back from the Bay Area, but I'll definitely get it in before next episode and I'll tell you the results. But looking at the card again, here's my predictions. I'm saying Lesnar this time, Roman Reigns for the Cena match, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins again. I'm shooting for them, so I say they'll be the winner. Finn Balor will win this against Bray Wyatt. This is a tough one right here, the Neville and Enzo, but I'm gonna say Enzo because I love him. Cruiserweight, that's what it is. Yeah, Neville Enzo is a part of the cruiserweights now because this match is for the cruiserweight championship match. So everyone's rooting for Neville. I love Enzo Amore. He's a bona fide stud and certified G. bada boom, realest guy in the room. How you doing? So I hope he pulls it out. But out of the Women's Raw Championship, Fatal 5-Way, I'm shooting for Bayley. But I kind of think Emma's going to win. But who knows? Like I said, in reality, Nia Jax would destroy all of them. Wait a minute. They have been pushing Nia Jax a little hard. Maybe she'll win. She's a really big gal. Like, she's tall and she's big. She's a big Samoan lady. So, she's beautiful. Who knows? Maybe some Alexa Bliss has had it already. Sasha, Bailey have both had it. If I had a pick out of Nia and Emma, they've been pushing both of them kind of hard. I want Nia Jax, but I kind of think Emma would get it before her. But who knows? We'll see. Out of The Miz and Jason Jordan, I'm rooting for Jason Jordan because I have a feeling Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas are going to do something stupid. to interfere. But I'm going to say Jason Jordan's going to be the next Intercontinental Championship because The Miz has had it way too long. So those are my predictions. We'll see next episode. WWE No Mercy happening this Sunday, September 24th at the Staples Center in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, in the greatest state in the country, California.
Right.
Yes, I'm from California, so I got to represent.
Exactly. Just real quick, just to tease kind of for the next episode, basketball season is getting underway in a way. Media day is today, you know, everybody shows up and does interviews and they take photos for the year, team photos, photos for trading cards and whatnot. So I know the ESPN The Jump is going to be at the Warriors media day. So be interesting to hear from Steph and Clay and Dre, KD. Did you hear the like controversy and what's been going on with KD like the past 2 weeks?
I haven't heard any kind of NBA stuff. What's going on?
Okay. It's nothing that big, but he got caught trying. It turns out he was like answering fans and critics under an anonymous account, and he messed up when he tried to do it, and he accidentally answered under his official account. He answered like why he left OKC, and so he was accidentally caught. So he had to kind of own up to that. It was kind of interesting too. The day after, he was scheduled to be at Silicon Valley, the TechCrunch. He was interviewed at that. So he just came out and said, you know, he was super embarrassed and he shouldn't have talked out against his team. And he still wants to interact with fans and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously he's sorry he got caught. But I almost just kind of feel bad for him. Like, I don't know. Like, because everybody was coming at him and now he's like trying to say like, oh, yeah. Like, but I don't know. It's like when it comes to KD, you're it seems like you're either in one of two camps, but I feel bad for him because you can clearly see he didn't think he'd get the backlash he got. It's calmed down now, especially with players like Kyrie Irving leaving Cleveland, not wanting to play with LeBron, and the so-called loyalty thing that Isaiah Thomas showed to Boston. He was loyal to them playing the day after his sister was killed, and then they just up and trade him. So I think people hopefully learned a lesson there about, you know, I know you want players to be loyal to your teams, but teams aren't loyal to players. So, you know, give them a break.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. So, yeah, I didn't hear any of that. So,
but then yeah, it's not that important. It's one of those, like, you know, nothing going on in sports, and we're going to talk about what people are saying on social media. Like I said, not serious at all, but, yeah, he got caught. He got caught trying to come back at people anonymously who were, like, attacking him.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, keep us up to date on what happens.
if anything else happens after that. Right. I'm sure it's going to be a big topic at Media Day today. So we'll see what comes out of that, definitely. I know we said we weren't going to do sections, but here we are. Just real quick on the Funko and Pop collecting segment. Since we last recorded my local Hot Topic, they gave me a call. They got one box of the Pennywise with balloon It, and I'm one of like three kind of people who check in at Hot Topic in this area, so they just flat out called all three of us and saved them. So I was like, well, okay, yeah, I'll pick it up. And I know you're mainly a in the box collector, Nez, so hopefully you can get it, and if not, you know, I'll hook you up with it. I just want one of the character to kind of represent this time and stuff like that. But as you've seen, I have photographed him out of the box. I took a picture of him in the sewer little gray turned yeah, out kind of.
That was cool. I like that picture.
Yeah, he's like right in the shadows.
Put it up on the Facebook page for those of you guys that don't follow us on
definitely,
Instagram.
Definitely will. Also, quick shout out to everybody that's signed up for the giveaway. Like I said last time, everybody that entered for Snokes entered to this one. And we've had a lot of people that I tagged in it. They have responded again, so they're going to get two entries into this giveaway, and we'll do that next episode. So
yeah, this is just like our early edition episode, that so we'll announce the winners on the next one. But while we're talking about Instagram, my account is on private, so because if you are with Instagram, you know, you get all these people that want to follow you that are like all these porn pages and people that are selling stuff and all that. So that's why, that's the main reason I put my settings onto private. So, but if you do want to follow me, just reach out to me on Twitter or Facebook. Tell me your Instagram name or whatever, at whatever. And I'll be sure to add you, because I mean, that's the only reason I have it on private. I know some people do have theirs like open, but I don't like all these people that are on there trying to sell me their hand creams or here, follow me if you want a good time tonight. I'm not with all that. So if you do want to follow me, it's at MacNez. That's it on Instagram, and shoot me a line on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and just tell me your thing, and I'll be glad to add you, because that's what's the main reason why I set on private. If you have tried to look me up, but I do have listeners on there, so it's good to see our listeners, what you guys look like and all the stuff that you guys do, because I look at all that stuff. So, but anyway, you have anything else? Because I have a quick comic book thing.
Oh, yeah, comic books. I have something on that too, but yeah, feel free.
All right. The last episode I talked about The Walking Dead issue 171. I was able to find it at my local comic store. It's the name of this issue was Fear the Princess. I didn't get the alternate cover. The cover that I do got is the one with Princess on the cover, a.k.a. Juanita Sanchez. That's the new character I was talking about. She's right on the cover. She's standing there holding a machine gun, goggles, big purple hair, and a pink fuzzy jacket. She's Mexican. I thought she was black, but I wasn't too sure. The alternate cover has really nothing to do with the story. I don't see why they. I mean, it's an awesome artwork. I mean, I love it. It looks like a picture of Rick looking at all these zombies that are surrounding, all these walkers that are surrounding him. It's an amazing artwork, and it's an awesome cover. I am going to try to pick this one up, because I do try to get all the alternate covers, but I don't know why they chose this. It's got nothing to do with the story. But this character, Juanita Sanchez, Princess, and that's what she told Michonne and those guys to call her, because they're walking through the city. I think Pittsburgh is where they're at right now. They're going through the city on horseback, and then they come across her, and they're not too sure who she is, and she's a new character, and she's likes to talk a lot, because she said she's been alone for a year. So she's not shutting up, and Michonne and all those guys are getting sick of her already. But she's a part of the crew now. They still don't trust her, but that's it. I mean, the story just kind of ended. So we really don't know too much about her, because she makes her appearance towards the end of the issue. Okay, I mean, I like... who knows? We'll see. Because I remember the stuff I was reading and the stuff that the lady told me at the comic book store, saying that she's going to be meaner than Negan. I'm like, where did you hear that? I mean, because it
must have been an interview.
She didn't do anything in this issue. Right. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe later on she will. But right now, her first appearance in this book. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if she's going to be a main character or how long she's going to last. But when new characters pop in the comic books, I always try to figure who is going to be this, what actress is going to be this character when, once we get to, once she gets to that. We probably won't see her for maybe a few more seasons. So I don't know. We'll see. But there is a character right now. I cannot remember her name. She's not on the TV show yet, but she looks just like Ruby Rose in the comic book. So I'm hoping that they get her to be that character. We'll see when we get to, I'll have to do some more research. I can't remember that character's name, but when she first appeared on in the books, all I saw was Ruby Rose. So hopefully, who knows, maybe she'll be on The Walking Dead, but we'll see. But yeah, Juanita Sanchez, aka the Princess, she first appearance, The Walking Dead, issue 171. Go pick it up. It's out there. If you can find the alternate cover, grab both, because now that's what I need to look for.
Right. Did you see how many new issues of Star Wars hit the stands this week? I was really shocked. I couldn't even pick them all up when I was there. But three Marvel releases, Captain Phasma issue 2, Star Wars Annual issue 3, new issue of Poe Dameron, and IDW is now in the Star Wars comics business. I didn't hear much about this deal at all, but I don't know how it works. But they had something called Star Wars Adventures, and the first two issues of that was out. So, did you see all those releases?
I haven't seen any. Well, I've seen the Poe Dameron and everything else that's on there, but I didn't even look. I didn't even know Phasma had a book until you had posted something about it, but out of those, that's the only story I would like to know. I mean, where does it take place, or when does it take? Is it before Force Awakens or after?
It's right after Force Awakens, and that's why I highly recommend everybody pick this up. It's only going to be four issues. The first two are out right now, and it's set right from the events of Force Awakens and answers the question of what happened with Phasma on Starkiller, and actually leads to a very interesting story and something that I didn't even think much about as far as the character going forward. Really interesting. It's not that big a spoiler just because they have to delve into it. But yeah, I didn't even think about this. The fact that, Phasma is very much, in a way, responsible for the destruction of Starkiller Base. She lowered the shields when Finn and Han had her do that, so the Resistance could fly right in.
Hmm.
Oh. So I never thought about that. Yeah, she's pretty responsible for Starkiller Base.
Well, I'm sure no one's going to tell her unless Finn or one of those guys says something, but so much has happened.
Right.
They probably just totally forgot about it. But this book that came out with Phasma, is it the same story that we're seeing and reading in the comics?
Oh, the book? The novel?
Yeah.
That is Phasma's origin story.
Oh,
the novel.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the comic, the one between the movies, supposedly issue 4 is going to end right in the lead up to where Last Jedi movie starts. So,
do you think there's going to be hints to what's going to be in the movie in these comics that are coming or that are out before Last Jedi?
No, lead right up to it. Like the moments before the movie, of which, by the way, did you see Rian Johnson? They locked it in. The movie's completely locked in and wrapped, which is early. It's still September. I don't think JJ locked Force Awakens until like the last week before it hit theaters.
Well, they're probably still doing stuff to it. I mean, it's not, okay, we're done. Here's the final thing, and I'm done with this. I'm sure they're still going to be tweaking it and adding this and that or doing whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Almost time, though. Getting excited. Oh, that wasn't. See, I started the episode saying we weren't doing this section, and here we go. This is might as well count for Star Wars section. Did you hear Mark Hamill? He basically gave away the date of when we're getting the Last Jedi trailer?
No, I didn't. When?
He either like tweeted it or answered somebody on Instagram, and of course he deleted it, but you know how the internet goes, somebody just screen captures it and it's caught, and it looks like Monday Night Football, October 9th, just like they did for Force Awakens, is going to be the Last Jedi premiere. So it'll be Monday Night Football, but then of course it'll go immediately up online too. So
yeah, I'll wait until as soon as it hits online, because I'm not a Monday Night Football guy if it ain't the Raiders. So,
right. I don't know who's playing that day, but it's at halftime. They do it at halftime, so it's hard to give it a time. Most likely 7:30-ish, based on how first halves of football games go. So around that time on the 9th.
Well, now we know. I remember the last time, not Rogue One, but when Force Awakens, when the trailer hit, I remember you were waiting for it, but then it actually came out earlier than you thought, and then you had texted me, it's out! I watched it over and over, and just, oh my God. As well as Rogue One, I remember that too, but when it was the full trailer for Force Awakens, when that hit, I was like, oh my God. And we did a whole show on it.
Right.
So expect that too, ladies and gentlemen.
Definitely.
When the trailer comes out, we're going to do a show on just that, because we analyzed it and everything. So I can't wait for that. Cause I remember when Rogue One, when that one came out, I remember when they showed Darth Vader, I was like, they just showed the back of his head, and
yeah,
and it gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh my God. I couldn't wait. And this is another one, man. Last Jedi, we've seen so much. We've seen the trailer or the little teaser that came out for it. And we can't wait, man. This Star Wars is something for the both of us and all of our family. I mean,
yep.
Here's a question. Is there something Star Wars in every room of your house?
Yep.
Yep. Same here. I think I mentioned it before. Yeah, if you walk through every room in my house, even the closets, there's something Star Wars in there.
Right.
It's, I don't know, I love Star Wars, or we all do. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find one Star Wars thing in every room of our house. In every closet. And our closets are dirty or messy, I'm sure, as well as the kids. But there's something Star Wars in there.
So, yep.
Yeah, Star Wars is a big thing in our life. And the Force is strong in our houses.
Exactly. All right. Ready for recommendations?
Yeah. Start it off.
Okay. Kind of cheating here because it's something I've recommended before, but I'm just so excited about it right now, so I'm going to just go ahead and take that cheat and recommend it again. Watch Kingsman: The Secret Service, the first movie. Love it. Can't say enough good things about it. I've been running it in the background while we've been recording this episode. And I just love everything about it. I made sure before we recorded to go and see where you could get it right now. And sadly, Netflix, Amazon, HBO Go, it's not up on any of those. I mean, you could rent it on Amazon, but it is going to air on TV FX this Sunday twice. So you could watch it then, but, you know, it has commercials, but you could set a DVR for it. Yeah, love this film. Love the action. Love the new film, The Golden Circle. Action the way I love it.
Or you can sail the high seas, because it's there. Yeah. I saw it.
I forgot. Also, I looked up the cheapest place I could find it online. You get the Blu-ray, order it on Walmart or go to your Walmart, $7.88. Pretty good. So, and the digital copy, I still had the little pamphlet in mind. It's still good till next year, so $7.88, pretty good for a physical copy and a digital copy.
Or higher. Yeah, always that way. Exactly. Don't download it, but it's out there.
Right.
The movie I'm gonna watch this today because it's been in my head and I just haven't sat down to watch it. I need to pick it up on Blu-ray. I don't have that yet. But this is 1999's Detroit Rock City. This movie is hilarious. Awesome 70s music, as well as the hottest band in the world, Kiss. I love their performance at the end when they perform Detroit Rock City. All the original members are in it. But this stars Giuseppe Andrews, James DeBello, Edward Furlong, and Sam Huntington. Detroit Rock City in 1978, four rebellious teenagers tried to scam their way into a Kiss concert. This movie is hilarious. Just the hijinks, the teenagers, and just drug use, just mainly weed. And just, yeah, and the loud music of Kiss and just their love for Kiss. I think that's why I love this movie, because these guys were like me when I was younger in the 70s when I first found out about the hottest band in the world, Kiss, which was Detroit Rock City was the very first Kiss song I ever heard. Because it's the first track on their Destroyer album. My dad had it on 8-track. For you younger listeners that didn't know what 8-track tapes are, look them up and you'll see, because they don't make those anymore. But that was the first Kiss album that I ever heard. And I love every song on it. It is awesome. God of Thunder is probably my favorite track on that. And that will lead into my favorite or my... musical recommendation, Kiss's God of Thunder. I love that song. It rocks so hard. Numerous people have done it, covered it. I think my favorite cover of that song was done by the Melvins. They did an awesome job. And I just watched a video yesterday. Kiss had, this was years ago, they did like a Icon Legends Award or something on MTV. And there was a super group of Tommy Lee, Rob Zombie, Scott Ian, Gilby Clark, and Slash, and the legendary Ace Frehley. For those of you that know, he was the original guitar player in Kiss. He was the spaceman, Space Ace. And they performed God of Thunder, and they did a hard version of it. Not as hard as the Melvins. I love that one a little bit more. But Kiss's Detroit Rock City from their Destroyer album, and the movie Detroit Rock City 1999. Those are my two movie and music recommendations.
Awesome. Yeah. Love both those recommendations. I remember seeing that movie in theaters when it first came out, and it was really fun to see in the theater.
Yeah, man. That movie was awesome, man. I love it. I know it's on Blu-ray. I just haven't picked it up yet.
Right. My recommendation is a song I mentioned at the very start of the episode, because I'm just so excited about the Kingsman movie, Kingsman the Golden Circle. Like I said, again, the movie kicks off with the action sequence, and I already love the action sequence, and it was made even better by my favorite Prince song of all time, Let's Go Crazy. So that's going to be my random recommendation. Go ahead and pick up the very best of Prince, of course. You get all the hits there, but yeah, my absolute favorites. Let's Go Crazy gets me hyped, and it had me so hyped for this film. I was telling Jade, I was like, I was already ready. You know, I didn't say all this, but basically I was already ready for this, and like, wow. even more hype now. Like, amazing. So
yeah. I'll give you one more musical recommendation, long as we're talking about Prince. I love Take Me With You. It's off of the Purple Rain soundtrack, and that's my favorite Prince song of all time. I love it. I was able to see Prince live once. He came to Reno, and it wasn't that big of a hit when that movie was out, and I rarely heard it on the radio. I hear it now on the radio, but back then when it wasn't that big of a hit. When I saw Prince, he did all pretty much all of his old stuff, all his big hits, the hits that he wrote for other people, he did, which was amazing. And that made the song that made my night is when he played Take Me With You. Had no idea and didn't even think that he was going to play it. And he played it live. That's the only time I saw Prince. And I was so happy that he played that song. It put tears on my eyes. And I was like, oh, my God. I love that song. It takes me back to an awesome time in my life. I love that song. It's an amazing song. If you haven't heard it, go look up Take Me With You. It's off the Purple Rain soundtrack. But when he did Purple Rain, there was not a dry eye in that arena. I don't know what it was, but it was the power of Prince. I was cool at first. I mean, once you hear the guitar riff at the beginning, he actually started, before I get back to Purple Rain, he actually started off the show with Let's Go Crazy, and that got the place hyped.
Exactly.
I was like, yeah. I mean, just even if you just hear that song on the radio, it gets you hyped. But when to hear it live, I was like, ah, yeah. I mean, it was awesome because they had the big movie screen. His stage was in the center of the arena. They had these movie screens on, and it came on the Dear the Beloved, We're Gathered Here Today, and they showed the image of the silhouette of him from the beginning of Purple Rain. They showed that. But then right when it kicked in, he just came. The lights came on. The whole band was on stage. There was not a curtain or anything because the stage was in the center of the arena. And Prince just came running up the stairs and they went, Let's Go Crazy. And everybody did go crazy. I did. I was, Renee was pregnant. Renee was pregnant with my youngest guy, Eric, and she was still dancing and singing. Oh, man, that's such an amazing song. Dude, now I want to go see this movie. Just to hear that right in the beginning.
It sets the tone perfectly for the rest of the film. Gets you in a good mood, ready to enjoy it and have fun. Yeah.
But amazing. When Purple Rain came on, I was just okay, cool, right on. I could sing along to it, and I know, but the emotion, the power of Prince, it hit me, and I kind of looked around the arena and just seen tears rolling out of everyone's eyes. I looked at my wife. Yep. She was crying. I looked around at other people around me. They were crying. And then it just hit me. Maybe I was probably the last one it hit, but I instantly teared up. I mean, just the just powerful music of Prince, man. I don't know what it was. I teared up and I was like, damn, man, I mean, what's going on? I mean, I know, seeing Kiss for the first time as a little kid, that was amazing. Seeing Metallica for the first time or Iron Maiden or Slayer, stuff like that. I always just feel that, yeah, but Prince, man, it just, oh, my God. I teared up when I saw Madonna. I seen her once, but I don't know what it is, man. Just Prince, he was awesome. And when he passed, that was just, it was devastating.
Yeah.
A lot of us Prince fans, but yeah, man, I was glad I got to see him. It was good, and Let's Go Crazy, man. That's a good recommendation for this week.
Yeah.
And as someone that got to see it live, oh, my God, the power of that song, and I love it.
Awesome. All right. Any other notes or anything going on with you this weekend?
This weekend, if you're down in the in Oakland, at the Intertribal Friendship House on East 14th, or International is what they call it. They are having Mike Marin, friend of the show, Mike J. Marin, director of The Smudging. He is having a screening for his movie. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get all the information up. he's having a screening for it down in Oakland, and I'm gonna be there. I am gonna be emceeing the event, so
nice.
Come down and watch me mumble on the mic and make a fool of myself. But nah, it's gonna be a good event. Here it is. I need to give the address and everything. Okay. September 23rd, the Smudging Bay Area screening at the IFH Intertribal Friendship House. That's 523 International Boulevard in Oakland, California. I believe you can just pay at the door. I mean, there was advance tickets and all that. But Mike, he's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Like I said, I'm going to be emceeing. I'm going to be doing the question and answering at the end. Mike is going to be introducing his film. They're going to show it. And, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. Hopefully I'm probably going to do a show, with Mike while we're there and hopefully get some, crowd reaction or some people, some interview some people at the end of what they thought of it. So
definitely
that's going to be cool. And, hopefully do some toy hunting and movie hunting while I'm down there. I always do that anyway. And I do. I'm going to hit up the local comic stores to see if I can find that alternate cover for Walking Dead, as well as hitting the hot topics along the way at the malls and see if I can find me a Pennywise. But other than that, I mean, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, not too much here. Might get out to see Kingsman again. But other than that, you know, so much TV, another episode of Vice Principals. Looking forward to that. But yeah, I don't know what's hitting Netflix or anything today, I guess, is when Netflix releases usually come out. But, you know, we'll always have plenty of topics for you.
Yeah, we didn't really want to go this long, but you know how things go. But it's all right, Dad. But this is early edition. We still got our regular show. This was a regular show anyway. But we got our next episode will be next week after the weekend, after the sports stuff, and hopefully get in another new movie. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, as far as for me, I ain't got nothing else. Everyone, this is gonna come out today. What's today? Friday the 22nd. This will be out as soon as we're done. It'll be out within the hour. I don't know why I'm saying that, because you'll be listening to this. But anyway, this episode will be out today before I head out down to the Bay Area. So, everyone, have a good weekend. Be safe. And that's it for me.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. I'm just gonna leave you with the words of the Kingsman. Harry Hart, to all the bigoted haters. I'm a Catholic whore, enduring Congress out of wedlock with my black Jewish boyfriend who works at a military abortion clinic. So hail Satan and have a lovely afternoon.